This morning, I want to spend some time just really looking at the story, the account of the resurrection. And I just have a few points I want to share and just want to encourage us this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I so appreciate the prophetic flow of worship in our house. When Pastor Derek was singing, "He is alive," and then he started singing, "I am alive." He was singing, "He is alive," and then he had us singing, "I am alive." And when he said that, immediately I thought about this thought that I wanted to focus in on today as well, that Holy Spirit gave me, and it's this: He is alive. As he is, so are we. Yeah, there it is right there. He is alive. Come on, say, he is alive.
He is alive.
Come on, say, as he is, so are we. Come on, say, as he is, so am I. Come on, that's a good moment right there just to clap your hands, pat your feet, shout amen or oh my, help me Jesus. He is alive, and as he is, so are we. It's good to be able to remind ourselves of all that happened as a result of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. It's in Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7. I want to read that. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who has been crucified. He is not here. Hey, for he has risen just as he said he would.'" I know you're looking for Jesus, but he's not here. "He has risen just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. I have told you." Going back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, I want to just read this because it speaks to what you and I have received as a result of this. It says this: "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." Talking about the rest of them. "But God," that's a good right there, but God. So after all that was said, how many of you know that when you say "but," it basically cancels out what was just said? I love you, but. I like you, but. I forgive you, but. You never want to put a "but" in there. Not your "but," not somebody else's "but," not anybody's "but." Stay with me now. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his love, great love, because of his great love, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ." Made us alive together with Christ. He is alive as he is, so are we. We were made alive in Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, says not of yourself, for it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which were prepared, which God prepared beforehand so that we might walk in them. Just look at somebody and say, God's got a plan for you. He's always had a plan for you. Even when Adam fell, he still had a plan for you. He just simply needed to work his plan so that he can have you work your plan. I want you to understand that in the whole dynamic of the resurrection, there's some key points for or takeaways for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave him sacrificially, recognizing that if all that he has intended for your life, my life, is going to come to pass, there needs to be a savior. For as we just read, we all, the scripture makes it clear, we all have lived in trespasses and in our sins. The good news is, the gospel is, the good news is, he's not holding your trespasses against you. Now, that's a good time to just thank the Lord right now. Come on. Come on. We weren't always saved. Come on, just thank him. Take a quick moment. Just kind of go down memory lane. Go quickly, though. Go quickly. Don't park on anything, but just go quickly and say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, say, thank you. God, I thank you. I could spend the rest of my life thanking him for saving me and delivering me and all the thoughts of what I thought I ever wanted to do and tried to do, and he still said, I got you. I got you. I got you. I got you. That's why it's good to be able to have a Sunday like this, a Resurrection Sunday, when we can thank God for Jesus, the redemptive work of Calvary, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his victory over death, hell, and the grave, and then remind ourselves that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. He is alive as he is, so are we. You don't need to keep saying, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You need to say, I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am the redeemed of the Lord. Come on, just get it out your mouth. Come on. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am the redeemed of the Lord. There's no need to keep trying to, you know, qualify it. You know, I'm a sinner saved. No, no, no. That's the past life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I am the redeemed of the Lord. You need to fix your mind to think that way. You need your mind renewed to think that way. So you don't live your life out of a place of having to live over and over and over a salvation experience. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I walk in the redemptive work of Calvary. And that places me in him in a place of victory. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am covered by the blood of the Lamb. All my sins have been washed away. I have been set free. No longer bound by things of old, nor the power of the enemy. The blood of Jesus covers me. Yeah. I heard that song one day. I think I wrote it. I think. All my sins are washed away. I have been set free, no longer bound by things of old, nor the power of the enemy. The blood of Jesus covers me. The blood of Jesus covers me. As far as the east is from the west, you've removed my transgressions from me. The blood of Jesus covers me. Say, the I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. You're the redeemed of the Lord. Just point to somebody and tell them, if you're born again, you're the redeemed of the Lord. We're the redeemed of the Lord. Yes, we are. And everything Jesus did was so that you and I could walk in the power of that redemption. That you and I would truly live out the life that God intended for us. Jesus was the second Adam. The scripture says he was the second Adam. And what he came to do was to fix once and for all what the first Adam failed in. When we look throughout the Gospels, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see how Jesus walked the earth and how that he pulled the 12 close to him and how that he began to teach them and he began to teach others what it truly meant to live out a life in his kingdom. And so we see the miracles of healing and deliverances and the raising of the dead. And we see it over and over. And all he was doing was just simply saying, I'm showing you what's available to you in me. I'm showing you what's available to you through me. As a matter of fact, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works will you do because I go to my Father. We are called to do greater works. We really are called to do greater works. In order to do those greater works, you've got to come into a reality. You've got to come into a reality. You've got to come into an acceptance and an embracing that you are the beloved of God. We don't want to stay in low-level living as believers. We're supposed to be living in seated in heavenly places. My way of thinking is so much higher than the things that are going on around me. It amazes me, and there's some takeaways that I just want to share with you real briefly as we are walking out what God intended for you and I. Because you see, with the 12 and those that followed Jesus, he told them three particular times, I'm going to die, and then I'm going to come alive again. I'm going to die, and then I'm coming back. I'm going to die, but I will be resurrected. Somewhere in their thinking, that never computed that it meant literally die. My niece told me, she said, I'm literal. I'm just literal. Meaning, you know, I just take it at face value. If you say it, that's what I believe it is. It's literal. She said, that's a wonderful place. That's a wonderful place concerning the Word of God. If God said it, it's settled whether you believe it or not. You said, and I believe, you said it, it is done. That's it. The challenge that the disciples had and those following is they really hadn't made the connection that Jesus was really, really who he said he was. They got as close as they could, but you know what messed them up? Calvary. What messed them up is what they saw. Isn't it interesting that oftentimes what messes us up is what we see, sometimes what we don't see. And so they follow him, and now it's time for the crucifixion, and everybody sees him on the cross. But no one is thinking, except maybe his mother. No one's really thinking, okay, this has got to be part of the plan. This has to be part of the plan. I don't know how, but this has to be part of the plan. There's got to be times in your life and in my life when things look crazy, and you got to tell yourself, this has to be part of the plan. Some of you right now, you're going through some things and you need to say to yourself, this has to be part of the plan. This has to be part of his plan for me. This has to be part of his purpose in moving me to my next purpose or destiny. This has to be part of the plan. Come on, say it. This has to be part of the plan. I mean, there's just no other way to think about it. We followed this guy for 3.5 years and he kept telling us, but it wasn't connecting, and now he's on the cross. And for many of them, you got to understand there were many leaders that rose up in that time who professed to be the Messiah, professed to be a leader, and people followed them. And time after time after time, the Roman government shut them down. time after time. But they couldn't do that with the disciples and those who followed Christ. They thought they could, and they thought that if we just kill him, it's over. What they didn't recognize, and what the disciples didn't recognize, is Jesus being whipped and beaten was part of the plan. You see, it was through those stripes that you and I are healed. It says that in Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace is upon him by his stripes. It's talking about those 39 lashes that he received. By his stripes, we are healed. It's got to be part of the plan. I don't know how this is going to work, but this has to be part of the plan. There are seasons in your life and in my life when we're going through some difficult times. We're going through some times that we don't understand. And just in, like in this situation, somebody's got to be in the frame of mind that this has to be part of the plan. And I need you to know that if it's part of the plan and you can acknowledge it as part of the plan, grace will be released for you to work it out. Grace to be patient will be there. Grace to be more loving will be there. Grace to be forgiving will be there. Somehow, this is part of the plan. I may not like it. But the only one who had no question about the plan was Jesus. I was watching the movie, the series Chosen, and I watched the series where he shared in Isaiah 61, where Jesus is sharing, and he's talking to them, and he makes this statement that really makes them mad when he says, if you cannot acknowledge that you need to be saved, I'm paraphrasing, he said this, I can't save you. Now I'm gonna tell you, that messed him up. That statement meant, I mean, all along he's given these parables, but then he just says, I can't save you. And when they take him to the cliff, and you can read this in Luke chapter 4, when they take him to the cliff to throw him over the cliff, and the high priest tells these guys to throw him over, he steps right up to him. He doesn't back up, he steps right up to him. He steps right up to him, says his name, says the name of the priest. He said, this is not happening. This is not happening. And then he says, not today. And walks right on through. You can read it in the scriptures. It's better if you watch it and if you look at it and you see it. See, I love it because what he was saying is, yeah, I will die, but it won't be here. It won't be on your terms. It's going to be on my daddy's terms. It's going to be exactly the way it's got to go. In the account that I read, and there's an account that you can read in Mark and Luke, they differ in their account of the resurrection day. So there's Mary and the other Mary, and they want to go to the tomb. But why do they want to go to the tomb? The scripture says that they want to go to anoint the body. Say they had a plan. Come on, they had a plan. Their plan was to go and anoint the body. So what it tells me is they didn't quite get it either. Because he said in 3 days, I'm coming back. Now, one of the things that you have to know about God is this. He can count. He can count. So when you read in the scriptures and you see when Israel was delivered out of Egypt, it said to the very day. Make no mistake, God keeps score. Make no mistake, he keeps score. He keeps count. And if it's 3 days, it's going to be 3 days. They had a plan. Oftentimes you and I have a plan. It's good to have plans. But as they were planning it, even though their planning was a little off because they're thinking they're going to anoint a body, they're not saying we're going to see if he's risen. all of a sudden, they have this, what I call a predetermined problem. They have a preconceived problem because they say to themselves, well, but who's going to move the stone? Who's going to move the stone? How many times do we plan and then we start? Now hear me, it's prudent to plan and plan well. It's prudent to plan. Scripture says any enterprise is built upon wise planning, is strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. That's word. But sometimes when we're planning, we can imagine a problem that really won't be a problem once you get there. I like to think about it when God spoke to Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, and the three nations are coming against them. You can read that passage of scripture. And the three nations are coming against them. And Jehoshaphat recognizes we can't win this without God's help. It says that he pulled all the people together. He pulled all the people together. They fasted for 3 days. They pulled all the people together. And then they all gathered together and they said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I want you to know that that's one of the best prayers that you can ever pray when you find yourself in the midst of a challenging situation that you can't figure out on your own. It's just good to say, I don't know what to do. Practice, come on. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. You may be watching and you may be in a situation right now where you're challenged by something, you're trying to figure it out. It's okay to say, as a matter of fact, it's good to say, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Because the word that came to Jehoshaphat was a very simple word. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord. And it says they slept on it, got up the next morning, and Jehoshaphat appointed singers, and they went out marching, singing, oh Lord, you are good. And your mercy endureth forever and ever. Oh, Lord, you are good. And your mercy endureth forever and ever. That's all they sang. It says the moment they sang, say the moment they sang. The moment they sang, God set ambushments. You see, they were thinking that there was a challenge, a perceived problem for them down the road. And you may be in a season right now in your planning. It's good to plan. And I want to say to many of us that you've got to be willing to move in faith even while you're waiting on the plan to yet unfold. Because I believe just as with Jehoshaphat, when they appointed the singers and they began to sing, it says they set ambushments right then. So by the time they got to that valley, the three nations that were coming against them had annihilated one another. They had taken out one another. And the people of God just stepped down in the valley and got all the spoil. They just went, it said it took them 3 days. Say 3 days. There's them 3 days again. It took them 3 days to gather up all the spoil that was there. Didn't have to raise one sword, didn't have to raise one spear, didn't have to raise one shield. And so I just choose to believe that when the women said, you know what, but who's going to move the stone? One said to the other, I don't know, but let's go anyway. And so as they're going, the angel's right there. It's like the angel gets a word, says, they're on their way. They're on their way. Move the stone. I liken it to when Pastor Nina was sharing how that when she went to pick up the donations that were there for us, when she got there, her name was on the pallets. Hold for Nina. Hold for Nina. Can you imagine what God is holding for you? What can you imagine what's being held for you? You got the plan, you can't quite figure it out. You think there's a problem, but it's only a problem in your mind. It's not something that's real. And even if the problem is there, once you arrive there, God can already have removed that thing, because you see, it's about moving in faith. Say, moving in faith. You see, what these women were doing is they were moving in faith, even though they were believing for one thing. God had something altogether different in mind. Isn't that the way God is? You and I think one thing, but God has something else much greater, much bigger in store for us. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us. It's okay to pause, just don't stop. I can imagine they're walking and they're heading there and they just stop and say, you know what, I just thought of something. You know, there's going to be a stone. Who's going to move that stone? Well, we've come this far. Let's keep going. Yeah, it's kind of like that old song, we come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. Y'all know that one, do you? Man, we sang that as little kids. My mother had us sing that around the piano. We come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. This is for you, Mom. Trusting in His holy word. He's never failed me yet. Turn around. We've come this far by faith. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why I just feel like singing this morning. So there's the plan. Then there's the problem. The wonderful thing about walking this out in God and in the redemptive work of Calvary, reminding you, He is alive as He is, so are we. We don't want to live in a place where we keep acting like we gotta hope and pray God's going to come through. Know this, He came through. Over 2,000 years ago, He came through. And now it's on you and it's on me just to walk this thing out in faith. And everything that He has intended for you, intended for me, intended for us, as long as we remain resolute and keep going, guess what? We will see it. We will experience it. There is no life outside of Jesus. There is no life outside of Christ. But once you are born again, once you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, this changes everything. That's what Lee Iacocca said when he became the chairman of Chrysler. He's the guy that coined that phrase when they came out with the car, the Intrepid. Little trivia. Yeah. This changes everything. The moment you were born again, the moment you opened your heart and you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, all of heaven said, this changes everything. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Okay, you're still not excited about the day you got saved? I'm still excited about the day God saved me. I'm still excited about it. I keep reminding, I never want to get used to the fact that He did this for me. I remember the day that He saved me. And I remember all the times that He has kept me. Once they get to the grave, once they get to the tomb, they recognize what we thought was going to be a problem is not a problem at all. Don't let the enemy blow things up in your mind. Don't let the enemy try to put you in a place that causes you to doubt God's goodness for you, God's mercy for you, God's grace for you. Because once they got there, they saw that the solution had already been taken care of. The stone had already been moved away. When they got there, they're looking for a body, but there's an angel there. And the angel says, hey, ladies, I know you came looking for Jesus, but I need to let you know He ain't here. He ain't here? No, he's not here. For he has risen just as he said he would. Just as he said he would. Just as he said. God is faithful to his word. God is faithful to his word. He said, my word will go forth and not return to me void, but accomplish that which I please and prosper whereunto the thing that I have sent it. He's not here, for he is risen just as he said. And then he tells them, he gives them a message to take to the disciples. Go tell the disciples and Peter that he is alive. Why would he say, tell the disciples and Peter? When you read through the scriptures, what you find about Peter is he had some peculiar ways. He had some attitude problems and some different things going on with him. And every time he would do something that was right, and then he'd do something that was a little off. But in every case, Jesus just kept walking with him. Jesus just kept working with him. You remember Peter was the one who walked on the water. Out of all the guys in the boat, Peter was the one who got out the boat and walked on the water. But Peter was one who needed to go through process. Say process. And so Jesus says to him one time, you need to know that Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you. That your faith fail not. See, I want to tell you, saints, at the end of the day, that's what weighs in the balance. Your faith, my faith. I'm praying that your faith fail not. You see, the ladies that were walking, wondering if the tomb was, how they're going to get in the tomb, they were walking in faith, and they kept walking in faith. When Abraham was taking his son Isaac up to place him on the altar, and the Isaac says, where's the sacrifice? He says, come on, let's just keep walking. God will provide for himself a sacrifice. He's walking in faith. What weighs in the balance is our faith. What weighs in the balance is our faith. He says to Peter, I have prayed that your faith fail not. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. It's our faith that weighs in the balance. It's our faith that needs to be renewed even on seasons and holidays. This should be a faith-renewing day as we remind ourselves that he is alive as he is, so are we. When Jairus comes to him because his daughter has died and he's walking, and a servant comes and says, don't bother the master anymore. She's dead. Jesus says, let's keep going. Keep your eyes on me. What he's saying is, don't lose heart and don't lose faith. Let's keep going. Sometimes news will come to you to make you think you got to change it up now, because what you thought you were going to be able to do, it sounds like you're not going to be able to do it now. Listen to me. What weighs in the balance is your faith. What weighs in the balance is faith. That's why Paul says to Timothy in his final letter, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. My God. See, the day that the enemy can break you down on your faith, he's got you. They received the word that he's not here, he's alive, just as he said he would be. Now that's the message. That should be our message. That he who died has risen from the dead, he is alive. He is our Savior. He is our King. The scriptures make it clear. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no plan B with this. C, D, E, F, G, or any other alphabet. There is no other plan. There's just this one plan. They received the revelation, the reality, the truth, that exactly what Jesus said is true. And then he gives them the message, go tell them. Go tell them that he is alive and that he is going before them into Galilee. And he will meet them there. He will meet them there. Why was it important that he said to them, tell the disciples and Peter? Because you see, Peter was the one who denied Jesus. He tells them, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. You're going to deny me. And Peter said, it'll never happen. But it did, not once, twice, but three times. And I want you to understand that there's oftentimes seasons in your life and in my life where we end up in a space where we've done something. And the enemy wants to use it to disqualify us. You see, I believe that what Peter was dealing with was guilt. What he was dealing with was shame. And so what he was doing was he was disqualifying himself. Oh, isn't it amazing how God can track? He knows exactly where we're at all the time. And I'm not talking about physically. He knows where you're at in your mind. He knows where you're at in your emotion. He knows where you're at in the spirit. He just knows where we're at. And he has the ability to just work through it all and get a word right to you in the midst of the situation, in the midst of a failure, in the midst of a disappointment, in the midst of a challenge, and get word to you, it's going to be all right. When the invitation comes to the other disciples, he gives a special invitation to Peter. He wants you to know, Peter, I got you on this. Peter, you're still one of my guys. You're going to be one of my main guys. I need you to show up with the rest of the crowd. I'm speaking to somebody right now. You stop going to church because you're mad at somebody. That somebody didn't save you. That somebody didn't give their life for you. You separated yourself because you've been hurt and you've been disappointed. And I give to you an invitation, your personal invitation. The Father says it's time to come back. It's time to get back involved. It's time to get back in the fold. It's time to get back in your place. And what Jesus did for Peter, he's doing for you right now. The very words, tell the disciples and Peter, brought healing. What it said to him is you're still part of the group. You're still one of the guys. It's like when God spoke to Abraham and he showed him all of what he wanted to do for him, what he wanted to do in him and through him. Between Genesis chapter 12 and 15 and all the things that happened. Abraham didn't really know God. He didn't know Yahweh. But in faith, he stepped out. And along the journey, he made a few choices that were not good choices. Self-preservation. Sarah, say you're my sister, not my wife, because they'll kill me to get to you. So I had her lying. But between 12 to get to chapter 15, he comes back to him again. And I love how Pastor Jack Hafer shared this wonderful message. The deal is still on the table. Because it's as if God said to him, look, as a matter of fact, the first few words of chapter 15 says, and after these things. See, we all, listen to me, we all have an after these things moment. You may have a few after these things moment when the Father comes back to you in love and says, what I planned for you. It may look a little different now, but the deal is still on the table. What Jesus was saying concerning Peter is, listen, I know what you did. I told you you were going to do it before you did it. No surprise. But I need you to recognize how great the love of God, how great the love of my daddy is for you, how great my love is for you. Let no one, don't let guilt, don't let shame, don't let embarrassment. Don't let self-condemnation keep you bound up. I set you free today. 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 I set you free today in Jesus' name. Walk in the freedom and the liberty that you have in Christ. And so when they gathered together, Peter showed up as well. And it says Jesus came walking through. He just showed up. Just came into the room. And it had to be a terrifying but yet amazing moment for him to show up. He didn't have to say, I told y'all so. His very presence made it so. Jesus fulfilled his promise to the disciples and further established his church. Our God is a promise-keeping God, and he is fulfilling his word even now, right now. And as we remind ourselves and as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, he gave his life. Yes, he died for our sins. And as we have received him, we have been saved. We are saved. He is alive, and as he is, so are we. Come on, say, he is alive. As he is, so are we. Come on, he is alive. As he is, so are we. Now lift up a shout of praise and thank God right now. I love it. We were singing, I heard he got up. 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 He got up. Yes, he did. He got up. And the Roman council and the rulers tried to cover it up. They called in the guys that are supposed to be watching it, who felt as if they were dead when the angel showed up. They said, guys, what happened? Listen, all I know is I'm just standing and all of a sudden there's a bright light and I see this being and I was like a dead man. I don't know what happened after that. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pay you to say that some of his followers came and got his body. You can't cover this thing up. You can't cover up God. You can't cover up the works of God. You can't cover this up. Glory. You can't cover this up. You may fool a few folk, but you can't cover this up. And the story continues from there. And the story continues with us. You see, I've come to the conclusion there are no excuses. There are no excuses. There is not one thing you can do to cause God to love you any less or any more. He just loves you. And that which he has purposed to do in your life, no matter how many challenges you go through, how many falls, get back up, keep your faith, keep your faith, keep your faith, keep your faith. Paul said, and I kept the faith. Paul didn't do everything right. He said, but I kept the faith. And know this, what God has purposed to do, he will do that. Because we are part of the story. He is alive. And as he is, so are we. He is alive. And as he is, so am I. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I walk in his power. I walk in his authority. I walk in his grace. I walk in his humility. I walk in the purposes for which I was born, I will fulfill my destiny. He is alive. As he is, so am I. My testimony will be, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I kept the faith. Now bless God. Oh, glory, 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 glory. As he is, so am I. He is risen. As he is, so am I. The same power that raised him from the dead, the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in me. Don't mess with me. I know that kind of challenges folk, you know, but I'm not talking to any person. I'm talking to them spirits. I'm talking to them devils. I'm talking to the devil himself. Better recognize. You see, Peter was crucial to the birthing of the church. Remember, Peter is the one who gave the revelation when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're a prophet. Some say you're Elijah. Well, who do you say I am?
All right.
Now, you have to know that Jesus wasn't looking for affirmation. He wasn't looking for a personality poll. You know, let me see how I'm doing in the ratings. What are people saying about me? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. That's Holy Ghost. That's why it was necessary. Tell the disciples and Peter. Can I encourage you by helping some of you here in the spirit right now that God is saying to you, I need you. I need you. I need you. Don't disqualify yourself. I need you. I remember being in a service and my bishop was ministering to me prophetically. And he said, in the middle of speaking prophetically, he said, I just hear God saying this. He said, I know this is going to sound kind of funny. He said, but tell John I have need of him.
All right.
Tell Rich I have need of him. I can't say everybody's name, okay, so just fill in the blank. I just felt that, Rich, for you. Tell Bonnie I have need of you. It was on the day of Pentecost. It was Peter when they all gathered together and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues. And they said, what's going on here? Peter was the one who stood up and gave the word. And over 3,000 were brought into the kingdom that day. That's why he said, tell the disciples and Peter. Because Peter had disqualified himself. Never let the enemy cause you to disqualify yourself. And then it's Peter who brings salvation to the Gentiles.
All right.
It's Peter who goes to Cornelius' house and ministers to them. And right in the middle of his message, he hadn't even got to his closing, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit while he's talking. The accounts of the resurrection have deep meaning and many examples of faith and perseverance. Keep going. Keep going. And when you feel like your faith is weak, just make one simple statement. And I saw this again in The Chosen, where Peter was falling in the water. And Jesus reached down and pulled him up. And he said, "Don't let go of me."
All right. Come on now.
You see, what Jesus was saying when he said, "Tell the disciples and Peter," he was saying to Peter, "I will not let go of you.